Why I love the name of our church. Why I love the name of our church. Well, where did they get the idea for the name of Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Titus chapter 2, verse 11, if you'll stand with me. For the reading of the Bible, Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of your word. Lord, again, dear God, we need your help. We want to lift up Jesus today. Lord, we want to show forth the heart of thankfulness for your goodness to us. Lord, we want to celebrate, Lord, the fact that you have allowed this place to exist. And Lord, for all that's been accomplished, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And so, Lord, bless the preaching of your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Today is the 7th of May, 2023. As I mentioned earlier, 2 years ago, we marked our calendars to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. 2 years ago, I asked our church to reserve May 7th through May 14th of 2023. In anticipation of this celebration, 2 years ago, I sent out letters to those who now live elsewhere and asked them to save the dates. If you can, come on home. 2 years ago, I invited scheduled 17 men to preach under the tent this week and asked many of them to bring their families back to Jasonville. Why? To help us praise the Lord for all that he has done in the past 5 decades. By the way, I just want to say it publicly. I love this church. I love the people in this church. I love the heavenly cloud of witnesses, those who helped found this church but are now looking down from heaven. I love the history of this church. I love the old tree stump pulpit. By the way, all the men will be able to preach out there behind the tree stump pulpit this week. I love the story of that tree stump pulpit. I love the fact that when we started this church, we did it in a living room in a house in Midland. I love that someone named our first bright red bus Friendly Freddy. I love the history of tent revivals that helped mark the beginning of this church. I love, and of course, a special place in my heart for the founding pastor and his wife, my father and mother, you know, Robert and Donna Ross. I love the men and the women that God brought alongside them in those early days to sacrifice and stand with them so that we can enjoy what we're enjoying today. I love the men of God that came through in those early days and challenged our church. Evangelists like Bob Kelly and Emmett Adkins and Bill Stone and Bob Hamlin. I love the vision for missions, worldwide missions that this church had from the very beginning. I love that this church has always preached from the King James Holy Bible. I love that this church was excited to move out of Bob Swaby's living room. What a celebration. Move out of his living room into Bob Swaby's garage. Amen. I love the fact that God gave those people a pioneer spirit that was necessary in those early days to start a church. And by the way, I still believe exists in the hearts of Blessed Hope Baptist Church people as we continue to plant new churches across southern Indiana. I love that this church broke ground for a new building on our present location when? In November of 1975. Yes, November. I like that a group of men and women built it while the snow flew during the winter of 75 and 76. I love that we dedicated this new building, the first building, on the 200th anniversary of our nation. I love that this church supported my father's vision to start a Christian school in the fall of 1977. And by the way, we are still experiencing, as we did yesterday, the blessings of that step of faith. We're still experiencing that today. So many things that I love about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But this morning, I'm going to pick out one of those things and try to build a message around. You pray for me, please. This morning, I'm going to preach on this subject, why I love the name of our church. In the text we read, we find the verse that inspired a group of people to name our church what they did. In this verse and the verses that surround it, I think we can find the reasons that I have learned to love the name of my church. Number one, when I hear the name Blessed Hope, it reminds me of the Son of God. If you look at that, at your text verses, notice verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of who? The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what? All iniquity. You know, in this portion of scripture, we find Jesus. Verse number 11, we find the grace of Jesus Christ, that wonderful unmerited favor. And then we find in verse 13, the deity of Jesus Christ. Notice there's two titles there. He says, and our Savior, the great God, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is our Savior, but folks, he's also that great God. We see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ where it says that he gave himself for us. We see the mission of Jesus Christ for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, verse number 11. And then later on, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And let me just say in this opening preaching service, I want this church to always be a place that reminds people about Jesus. I want this place to always be where Jesus Christ is exalted. I want this church to always be a place where Jesus Christ is preeminent. I want this church to always be a place where Jesus Christ is lifted up. When people in our community hear the name of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church, my heart's desire is I want them to think above anything else. I want them to think of Jesus. Years ago, I was in a barber shop over in Hymera, and a man was waiting for a haircut as I was getting my haircut. And we began a conversation. He asked me what I did for a living. I told him I was the pastor of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And then I asked him, do you know anybody that attends there? And he said, I don't know. I don't know for sure. He said this, what are some of the big names at your church? And that's exactly the way he said it. I was so shocked by the question, I didn't know exactly how to answer. So I asked him to clarify, you know, and I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, some of the important people, the big names at your church. And, you know, this is one of those times I wish I carried a list with me. I wish I could have had the list of all the names of Jesus, you know. I wish I could have just said, here's the big names. The Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the author and finisher of our faith. You want to know the big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? The author of eternal salvation, the beloved Son, the blessed and only potentate, the branch, the bread of life, the captain of salvation, the chief shepherd, the cornerstone, the counsel. These are the big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The dayspring, the deliverer, the desire of the nations, the door, the everlasting Father, faithful witness, first and last, the glory of God, the good shepherd, the great high priest. I wish I had that memorized at that moment. I could have told him this. The big names are the head of the church, heir of all things, Holy One, horn of salvation, the I Am, Emmanuel, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, the just one, King, King of the ages, King of the Jews, King of kings, King of the saints. The big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let's be reminded, folks, is Lawgiver, Lamb, Lamb of God, the Life, the Light of the World, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the Lord of our righteousness. The big names need to be the Man of Sorrows, the Mediator, the Messiah, the Mighty God, the Bright and Morning Star, the Only Begotten Son, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Kings, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Who are the big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Redeemer, Resurrection, Rock, Root of David, Rose of Sharon, our Savior, the Seed of Woman, the Shepherd, the Bishop of our souls, Shiloh, Son of the Blessed, Son of David, Son of God, Son of the Highest, Son of Righteousness, the True Light, the True Vine, the Truth, the Witness, the Word of God. Let's make sure that if there are any big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. Preacher, you didn't have that list with you, so how did you answer him? I answered him very simple. I said, as I kind of laughed, sir, there's only one name that comes to mind when you ask for the big names at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and that name is Jesus. Hey, let's make much of Jesus. We've done it for 50 years. Let's not stop doing it now. Let's make much of Jesus. Let's join John the Baptist and declare that for the next 50 years, he must increase and we must decrease. If we will exalt Jesus, folks, if we'll put our focus on Jesus, if we'll preach Jesus, if we'll lift him up, you know what he promises to do? Draw all men unto him. I love the name of our church because when I say the name Blessed Hope, it reminds me of the Son of God. But it doesn't just stop there in this portion of Scripture. Blessed Hope also reminds me of the soon coming of the Son of God. That's what we read in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, what is this glorious appearing? What does that even mean? Preacher, what is this thing that you preach on from time to time? We hear it spoken of here often. What is the rapture? What do you specifically mean when you talk about the soon coming of the Son of God? Well, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 all about it. Paul said this through inspiration, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those are the ones that have already passed on, folks. You can see some of their pictures around the corner. Don't worry about them. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Listen now, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then I love this last verse here. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What is the rapture? What is the blessed hope? What is the soon appearing of Jesus Christ? It is the fulfillment of a promise that Christ gave to his disciples back in John chapter 14. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here it is. Here's the promise. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he led his disciples to the Mount of Olives and gave them their marching orders. He told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And after he did that, an amazing thing happened. We read about it in Acts chapter 1. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. We call that the ascension. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Listen, folks, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. The fulfillment of the rapture is the fulfillment of a promise given by Jesus Christ to one day return in the clouds and take his children home with him forever. Listen, folks, he will come again. You say, preacher, why are you so sure? Because he promised that he would. He promised that he would. Jesus will one day come in the clouds. He'll come with a shout. He will come with a trumpet sound. He will come as he promised. He will come and we will go. Jesus will someday come. And by the way, that someday could be today. For 50 years, we've preached on the blessed hope. Dad loved to preach messages on the blessed hope, on the rapture of the church. There's no doctrine that has had more impact upon both the saints and the sinners as much as the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus Christ. By the way, the world scoffs at it. The liberals deny it. The backslider ignores it. The carnal, they dread it. The lost quake at it. The procrastinator fears it. The Antichrist waits for it. The devil plans for it. The false prophet prays to the devil for it. The angels of heaven, they'll long for it. The bereaved are comforted by it. Think about that. The soul winner warns of it. The preacher proclaims it. The Father alone knows the time of it. The Savior will shout at it. The trumpet will sound at it. But here's the most important question this morning. Listen, are we looking for it? Let me ask you this question. Let's make it personal. Do you this morning love the thought of the blessed hope? Do you long for the soon appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? God allowed the Apostle Paul at the end of his life to pen these words. For I am now ready to be offered, The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Listen, but not to me only, but unto all them also that what? Love his appearing. Now think about this. Right attitude of Christians towards the blessed hope is so important to God that he will give a special crown, a crown of righteousness, to all of us who love and long for Christ's appearing. Are you, let me ask you personally, are you ready for Christ to come back? As a Christian, are you longing for his return? You know what? Think about this. Will you go on that day or will you be left behind? 1 second after the rapture, where will you be? The Bible teaches us that when the last trumpet sounds and Jesus returns, some will be taken and some will be left. Matthew 24:40, then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth appear. Two men, that's what the Bible says, will be working together. And you know what? One of them will disappear. One's a Christian, one's ready for Christ. The other one will be left behind. Think about that. One, two women will be working side by side. You know what? One of them will be taken up in the twinkling of an eye to be with Jesus. The other will be, listen, left behind. How will this look in this modern day? Jesus comes back this week. If he comes back, this moment will be the real life scenario. In some homes, a husband will be taken while the wife is left behind. A sister will disappear and a brother will be left behind. A child will go with Jesus while her mother stands alone with empty arms. Two girls, can you see them laughing and playing? And all of a sudden, one is gone, the other left behind as her laughter turns to screams as she wonders where her friend disappeared to. A pitcher will be pitching a baseball and the batter will disappear. Waitress will be pouring coffee, then disappears. The coffee pot falls to the floor. I'm talking about real life scenarios, folks. Think about it. Where will you be? Will you be with Christ or will you be left behind? A preacher will vanish in mid-sentence while a few are left sitting alone in a church wondering where everybody else went. Driverless cars will crash as airplanes begin to fall from the sky. In one neighborhood, can you picture it? A panicked father will be calling for his children, while in the next neighborhood, children call out looking for their parents who's no longer there. A policeman will wonder what happened to his partner. Can you see a boat giving the water with no captain? A lawnmower runs with no rider, while a bulldozer plows ahead with no operator. Get you to understand this is real, folks. The most important question is, though, where will you be? 1 second after the rapture, where will you be? Who will be taken? Who will be left? One, if you study the Bible, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be left behind here. By the way, you better read the book of the Revelation. Read about that 7-year tribulation period where the devil will wreak havoc upon earth below, while the God of the universe pours out judgment from heaven above. You know, we ought to study the book of the Revelation. You don't want to be left behind here on earth when Jesus comes back for his own. If Christ came today, preacher, you keep asking the question. I'm going to keep asking it. You need to answer it in your heart. I'm talking about this hour, this moment. Would you be taken or would you be left behind? Preacher, why do you love the name of the church? Because anytime someone reads it, it reminds them that Christ is coming again. Anytime someone says it or writes it or ponders it or proclaims it, our hope and our prayers that reminds them that Jesus will one day come again. I love the name of our church because it reminds me of the Son of God. And it reminds me of the soon coming of the Son of God. But folks, we need to take a minute and look at the verses around verse 13, our theme verse. Number three, our last point. Blessed hope reminds me of the seriousness of sanctification in these last days. Look, if you will, folks, in verse number 11. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You will only find the phrase blessed hope in one verse of the Bible. And only one verse. We'll read it in just a second. We read it in Titus 2:13. But may I remind us that this verse should always be read and interpreted in the context of the verses around it. What are you saying, preacher? If you're going to choose Titus 2:13, come on, church, as the key verse of our ministry, that, you know what? We can't just take two words out of that verse and ignore everything around it. If you're going to take the name of Blessed Hope, make it the name of your church, you might want to check out the verses that surround it. Verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. So grace has appeared and grace is going to teach us something. We better listen. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. While we're doing that, let's be looking for that blessed hope. Come on, verse 13, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's remember why he gave himself. Look at verse 14, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I heard one preacher recently say this. We have so much world in the church and so much of the church in the world that you can no longer tell the difference between the two. One of the most disastrous philosophies that many churches have taken is that we are supposed to become like the world to reach the world. The minute you become like the world to reach the world, you need to stop and ponder this. Are you reaching them or have they reached you? Who's changed? Think about that. Verse 11 begs us to listen to grace, to hear what the grace of God is trying to teach us. We have a group of preachers in our country who are using the grace of God as an excuse to excuse away sinfulness. They say things like, well, I'm under grace, so it's okay if I drink booze. I'm under grace, so it's okay if I miss church. I'm under grace, so it's okay if I dress immodestly. It's okay if I smoke or cuss or cross-dress or cheat on my spouse, use God's name in vain, listen to worldly music, watch wicked movies. Come on, chase worldly fads. All these things are just fine. And you know what the excuse they use? Because of grace. Because of grace. Now, folks, listen to me. Let me use the eloquence of my father's vocabulary to answer that way of thinking. Preacher, what would your daddy say to that kind of thinking? He would sum it up in one word. Hogwash. Hogwash. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think maybe every once in a while the preacher's preaching this kind of stuff. Instead of saying amen, somebody needs to shout hogwash. Amen. Someone sent me something yesterday I thought was brilliant. They said if you'll set your ringtone just to say amen and amen and amen and amen, you know what? You won't have to turn it off before you come into the church house. Amen. If it goes off, you'll be fine, you know. Brilliant, brilliant. You know, I think I might have to ask a lot of Christians to do that, amen. Folks, listen to me, that is hogwash. The Bible tells us what the grace of God will teach us, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Teach us what? Think about that, folks. Teaching us to, this is what it says, denying ungodliness, worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know what? If you're born again, you ought to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. And you know what? Looking for that ought to affect the way that you live. Knowing that he could come back at any moment. And you know what? When he comes back, you know what? I don't want to be dressed like the world, look like the world, acting like the world, or talking like the world. I want to be set apart. I love the name of my church because of the verse that comes before it and the verse that comes after it. I love the name of my church because it reminds me of the seriousness, listen folks, of sanctification. According to the Bible, here's what the blessed hope should inspire us to do. I'm not making this up. It's in your King James Bible if you look at it. Deny ungodliness, not participate in it. Deny worldly lust. Thank you, Brother Chad Gordon, for the message in Sunday school. Denying ourselves. Christians used to deny worldly lust. Now, you know what we do? We indulge in worldly lust. We're to live soberly, live righteously, live godly. And where are we supposed to do this at? In this present world. Knowing that the world is going to do none of these things, we are still commanded to do all of these things. Grace reminds us why Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, that he might purify into himself a peculiar people, that he might then turn us loose into the world to zealously do good works. What did Jesus die for? To save us from our sins. Yes, he did. That's the answer, but he also died to save us from ourselves. Think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Listen, and that he died for all. Why? That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Thank you again, Brother Gordon. I mean, where is the preaching on discipleship? Where's the preaching on denying yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus? We, instead of giving in to the first sin listed when it comes to the portion of scripture on the last days and perilous times. The last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers. Come on, your preacher's taught you this so many times. What's the first sin listed? Lovers of their own selves. People in America seem to be looking for a brand of Christianity that will get them to heaven but require no change in them while they remain here on earth. By the way, that kind of Christianity is not found in the Word of God. Yeah, salvation's free, but once we're saved, God wants to sanctify us, to cleanse us, to change us, to transform us into the image of His dear Son, to make us new creatures in Jesus Christ, a peculiar people, a light in darkness, a testimony of His grace. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 goes on to say, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Folks, I'm done. Listen, for 50 years, we've done our best to proclaim the holiness of God. Well, we need to get back to preaching on that. For 50 years, we've preached on the doctrine of sanctification, on the doctrine of separation from the world. Christians, we might have to live in this world, but we should not be of this world. That's why the old gospel singers used to sing, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. Listen, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I don't know about you. Sometimes I'll pull my phone out and go to my Fox News app and just flip through the headlines. And you know what? I don't even feel like I belong here anymore. I don't even understand this world anymore. You know what? I think the older you get, the more homesick you get for heaven. Some point you just want to look at this mess and say, Lord, I know that it's in your hands and it's appointed when a man wants to die, and that's your decision, your choice. But Lord, if you want to get me out of here, just go ahead and get me out of here. You know why? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Blessed Old Baptist Church has the reputation of being a bit peculiar. Listen to me. If that's true, can I say this? Then praise the Lord. Amen. If you really believe the Bible, then you're going to seem peculiar in a world where most people despise the Bible. Preacher, there's people in this community who think this church is peculiar. What's your reaction? Amen. I hope so. I mean, that's kind of the goal. There's a reason that Jesus saved us. He saved us to change us so that we can shine as light in this sin-blackened world. 50 years ago, a group of people started a church and they named it Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think they did this through the leading of God. I think they did it for some reasons. I think they did so to point us to some things. And by the way, they did so that when we heard the name, we'd be reminded of the Son of God. When we just heard the name of the church, we'd be reminded of the soon coming of the Son of God. And when we heard the name of the church, it would remind us of the importance of the doctrine of sanctification. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I asked several questions when I was talking about the rapture. I'm going back to those questions. Are you ready? Are you ready if Jesus came today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you die today, are you 100% sure that you go to heaven? If the rapture happened today, are you 100% sure that you would be raptured out? Listen to me. Can you look back from this point, this moment right now, backwards along the timeline of your life? And as you go back, can you find that place, that time when you fell under Holy Spirit conviction of sin? And you know what? You understood the gospel and you made a decision that you would put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again. If you believe the gospel with all of your heart, if you will call upon Him, listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is for anybody. This is for everybody. God is working in your heart this morning. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. But you know what? God is speaking to me and God is working on me. And I know I need to do something about that. Well, let me tell you what I can do for you. I'd like to pray for you. I can't make that decision for you, but I can pray this morning that you'll make the right decision. I'd like to do that. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. But God is working on my heart. I'm not saved, but I know I need to be saved. Preacher, include me in your prayer. I'm not saved, but I'd like you to pray for me. By the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you. Nobody else will. But I'd like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. Here's my hand. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved. I need to make the right decision. Is there anybody? Anybody at all? Thank you very much. Thank you so much, young man. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. God bless you. I see that hand. If you'd like to take care of that, and you ought to take care of it this morning, and you know what? As soon as we have the invitation and the music starts, I'd like both of you to leave your pew, go to the nearest aisle, come right up here and see Brother Brian Morris. He'll get someone to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven if you'd be willing to do that, okay? Hey, Christians, a lot of this message was for us too. You know what, folks? Listen to me. As the world gets worse and worse, if we're not careful, we're keeping a little bit of distance, but we're kind of following the world in the wrong direction. Every one of us have to examine our lives and say, you know what, am I really being affected daily by the doctrine of the blessed hope, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are there some things that have creeped into my life that if I was doing them, some places that I'm going now, if I was there and Jesus came back, what? Preacher, I'd be ashamed. Preacher, I need to get some things right. How many Christians would say, preacher, you know what? There's some things in my life the Holy Spirit pointed out this morning that I feel like I need to get right with him. Would you raise your hand all across the auditorium? Would you raise it? Don't be shy. Thank you so much. Boy, this is good. Heavenly Father, thank you for these two that raised their hand about salvation. Lord, I pray, dear God, for Christians. Lord, we all struggle. We struggle against the world, struggle against the flesh. We have to deal with demonic interference, demonic attacks and oppression in our life. And Lord, we need you. We can't do this thing called the Christian life without you. And so, Lord, for those that are struggling a bit, I pray, dear God, that you would remind them how much you love them. And, dear Lord, that you would strengthen them and help them to get the things in their life clean and clear that they need to get right. Lord, I also pray, again, for not only these two that raised their hand, but there may have been others that didn't raise their hand. And if they died right now, or if you came, they don't know for sure what would happen. They've never been saved. I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd help them to come and help them to be saved, to nail that down this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name.